Hi, friends. Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. It's been a while since I've been with you on this format, this platform, and I'm thankful, glad to have you join me for this episode. I do want to start, though, by saying I'm going through a recalibration of sorts, trying to sort through a bunch of different variables and options. And what I'm talking about here, friends, is that Kathy and I, my wife Kathy and I, are working to consolidate all of our different ministry outreaches, all of our different platforms into one more efficient, more effective platform. And of course, that means that Soaring Eagle Radio, DrMikeSpalding.com, which started as a blog site way back in the day. That was the first thing that I did back in, 2005 or 6, something like that. Started as a blog site, and then the Transforming Word, it came in, and originally the intent there was for that to be a podcast site. It was connected with iTunes, and so my Bible teaching programs there on the Transforming Word. And then of course, as many of you know, 3 years ago or so, three and a half now, I guess, Soaring Eagle Radio was born, and it's been a blast doing Soaring Eagle Radio, a real blessing, in fact. And I'm not saying that it's ending. That's not what I'm saying at all. But as you know, those of you who look for new episodes, it's been a while since I've done one. And the reason for that is very simple. I've been spending a lot of time on other efforts, other ministries, other goals, and things of that nature. So among them, the priority has been writing. So those of you that follow this ministry know that I've done a lot of writing, and in fact, it sounds crazy to say it, but Kathy and I counted, and in the year 2020, we published 8 books, and I know that sounds crazy just saying it. Now, granted, I'd have to count to know the exact number, but 3 or 4 of those, 5 of those, I don't even know, at least 3 or 4, I would think, were commentaries. And I've shared this before. When I write commentaries, I write them out in manuscript form. And they're my teaching and my sermons are loosely based on those. I can't say that I follow them closely. It's one thing to write down notes, and even if you write it in a manuscript form versus bullet points, it's another thing to stick to that when you're in the pulpit. So those of you who teach know exactly what I'm talking about. So some of those 8 books were commentaries, but at least half were not, and that takes a lot of time. So And so let me mention my 2 recent books, and I've released those here in 2021. In fact, 2 books. One, Daniel 70 Weeks, is a commentary on chapter 9 in Daniel, and of course the focus there of Daniel chapter 9 is verses 24 through 27. That gives a history of the times from Daniel's day to the return of Christ. And so Daniel 70 Weeks is available. You can check that out on the website, drmikespalding.com, if you're interested in a signed copy. You can email me, pastormike@cclohio.org, pastormike@cclohio.org, if you're interested in that. Now, and let me tell you this, folks, Pastor Mike email will probably be going away soon. I do have a Gmail address, and that's probably going to be going away soon, too. And the reason for that, anybody that follows me knows, I talk about this often, is the big tech and the censorship and the data collection and all that stuff. It's just at a point now where it's just not worth it to continue to use those platforms. So my Gmail account will be going away at some point, and the PastorMike @cclohio.org may also, but stay tuned for that. You can keep using that if you'd like to contact me. I do have a Proton Mail email address. If you have a Proton Mail email address and you would like to correspond with me that way, then email me, PastorMike @cclohio.org. What your Proton email address is, I'll put that in my contacts list on my Proton email list, and I'll send you a confirmation through Proton email that I have your Proton address. So those of you not familiar with Proton Mail, it's an encrypted, more secure email. So if you, and you can get an account there for free. They do have paid accounts that offer a few more benefits than the free account, but I would encourage people to start moving to protonmail.com. I know there are other secure emails out there. If you know of one, send it to me. Let me know what the secure email is, and I'll check it out. Anyway, today I wanted to discuss a few things with you. So the second book, and let me go back to that. So Daniel's 70 weeks is a commentary on Daniel chapter 9, focusing primarily on verses 24 through 27. That's the real meat of that chapter. But also, I just released, just within the last few weeks, I just released a book, The Unraveling of America. The Unraveling of America. And we have certainly watched that, haven't we? We've watched it happen right in front of our eyes. It's just amazing to me. Let me give you quickly some of the chapter headings, and I want to share one of the chapters with you today by way of encouragement, but also as a teaser. Maybe you'll acquire the book. And I have to say that what the Lord has led me to put out recently has been well received. I continue to receive emails from folks that read my books. They're encouraged by them. They reach out, send an email, say thank you. They're sharing copies with their pastor, with their friends, their family. So thank you. If that's you, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Kathy and I, as you both know, as all of you know, we are both retired now and enjoying it, blessed by it, and wouldn't change a thing. This really opens up our day. We've got at least 50 hours a week now that we're not devoting to an employer, and we're devoting to the Lord. And I mean that sincerely. We keep office time every day. I'm in my office writing, researching, reading, preparing for the next conference, next teaching, next book, next whatever. And it's a blessing. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. But so The Unraveling of America, here's the contents. The storm is here. Do not panic. That's chapter one. Chapter two, the real religious jihad on America. Chapter 3, The Progressive Mission Exposed. Chapter 4, Holiness is the Necessary Foundation. Chapter 5, The World in Which We Live. Chapter 6, and I'm going to share this with you today, T-Shirt Warriors. Chapter 7, You Are Mistaken. Chapter 8, We Can't Just Look the Other Way Anymore. Chapter 9, The New Tolerance. Chapter 10, The Biblical Meaning of Mark 11, 20 through 25. If you're wondering what that is say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. If you want to know the real context for Mark 11, that's been completely twisted, misconstrued beyond any semblance of true exegesis, then this chapter alone is worth the price of the book. Chapter 11, What Now, Church? Chapter 12, People Are Destroyed Because They Are Ignorant of Truth. Chapter 13, A Most Powerful Weapon, Declaring the Glory of God to an Unbelieving World. Chapter 14, The Source and Physical Manifestation of Our Warfare. 15, A Much Needed Reminder. 16, If Anyone Thirsts. 17, Stay Laser Focused on Jesus. 18, Tactical Civics. 19, A Prayer for America and President Trump. So all told, 304 pages for your encouragement and edification. And again, if you're interested in a copy of The Unraveling of America, Spiritual Warfare and Faith in the 21st Century is the subtitle, then contact me, Pastor Mike, cclohio.org. I'd be happy to get that to you. So in one chapter, T-shirt warriors, I just wanted to share that with you today by way of encouragement. I said this, the current contrived and expertly managed Chinese Wuhan coronavirus panic-demic, some are referring to it as a scam-demic, a planned-demic. Here in my book, I refer to it as a panic-demic, has created some good results that true Christians, conservatives, libertarians, and patriots should be thankful for. Now, that may cause some eyebrows. That may, you may be thinking, Mike, you have really lost it now. How can this be good? Well, that's what I ask. What good results could possibly result from this societal and economic disaster in the making? Well, in the least, people who have not succumbed to fear have had the privilege of having a front row seat in the theater of the absurd to watch their federal, state, and local governments in action. Political promises and grandstanding buffoonery aside, what has the handling of this planned panic-demic revealed to you? What it has revealed to me is the near total incompetence of officials tasked with addressing situations like this and the near unanimous acquiescence to tyrannical government overreach to an overblown, irrational fear of an invisible enemy, as the virus is now being called by most citizens. Now, folks, it is clear to me, it is clear to anyone who is not deceived or deluded by this nonstop for the last year, nonstop drumbeat of propaganda fear porn. I like the meme that I saw recently. I don't remember the platform I saw it on, but the meme had an Amish man being questioned by a woman who was not Amish, said, and the woman was asking the Amish man, why hasn't COVID affected the Amish communities? And the response that the Amish man had to that in this meme was, well, we don't have television. That one made me laugh out loud, literally. And that is the truth, folks. Television, the biggest mass propaganda instrument on the face of the earth, is responsible for the fear porn. But who is pulling the lever? Who's the man behind the curtain? Who's the Wizard of Oz in all of this? Well, you can say it's Soros. You can say it's the World Health Organization. You can say it's Fauci or Burks or Gates or any number of people. But I think it's an amalgamate. It's a loosely, how loosely, I'm not sure. How firm their ties are together, I'm not sure. But I will say this, they are working together. The World Health Organization, the Chinese Communist Party, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, the National Institutes of Health here in America, World Health Organization, and others have all determined that they're going to follow the same script, the same narrative, the same game plan. And by now, it should be obvious to anyone who truly is interested in reality and knowing the truth that this thing has all been used, number one, to destroy the United States economy, and in the process of that, destroy President Trump through a fraudulent election. Destroy the economy, which didn't happen as well as they had hoped, but it did provide cover for the swing states, I'll call them that, the Michigans, the Wisconsins, the Pennsylvanias, the Georgias, Nevadas, Arizonas, these states to very quietly change election laws in those states to allow for absentee and mail-in ballots. Now, the problem that they got themselves into, these states, is that they did it illegally. Because changing election law is a function of the legislature. And in these states, they didn't do that. They just had a secretary of state, with the exception of Georgia, who I know is a Republican, secretaries of state that just did it by edict. They just said, we're doing it this way. And the legislatures allowed them to get away with it. Now, they protested, but they didn't protest enough, and they didn't stop it. And the courts in those states provided cover for these wicked, evil, unconstitutional, unlawful edicts from these secretaries of state and the governors that they served. So this Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, this fake panic demic, planned demic, scam demic, was used to destroy the economy, instill fear in people, destroy President Trump, and steal the election. Now, it has instilled fear. It has hurt the economy. It didn't have the effect that they hoped it did or would. And they did steal the election, but that was the prize. That was the plum. That was the goal. So, and my point is, in this article, I'm pointing this out, that this panic-demic, this COVID-19 craziness, insanity, nonsense, lie, hoax, whatever you want to call it, and folks, don't be mad at me if you've had a loved one that has contracted COVID and they were very sick. I'm not saying that this isn't real, but statistics don't lie. The reality of this situation is this. COVID is no more serious than the seasonal flu. Let that sink in. And if you think it is, it's because you've been propagandized. You've been deceived by the media. There are thousands and thousands of people. You can check the statistics yourself. You don't have to believe a word I say. There are thousands and thousands of people that die of the flu every year. And oh, by the way, have you noticed? Nobody's got the flu in 2021. No one. Not one single individual has the flu. It's all COVID. That's remarkable. But year after year after year after year, tens of thousands of people die from the flu. COVID is no more serious than that. The fact that you believe it is a result of the constant 24/7, 365 drumbeat of the corporate compromised media that has instilled fear into you to make you think that it's far worse. Now the miscreants at the CDC are advocating for double masking, single masks. Nope, not quite good enough. I can't wait till I'm out and I see the first fool wearing a double mask. It's unbelievable the stupidity, the gullibility, the fear factor that so many Americans are now living under. Land of the free and home of the brave? Not so much. Land of the deceived and home of the fearful. We've got to overcome this. So many governors in so many different states should be in jail. And I include Ohio's Governor DeWine among that number. Certainly California's Governor Newsom, Wisconsin's Governor Evers, Michigan's Whitmer, Virginia's Governor Northam, And Cuomo in New York, he is a criminal, murderous criminal. They have displayed varying levels of a totalitarian mindset. They have issued edicts contrary to the law of our own states, and most especially contrary to the U.S. Constitution. But to show you how far gone America is, our court systems are all corrupt too, right up to and including the Supreme Court. If the things that I've been reading are true, then at least three justices on the Supreme Court are compromised, and they are under the control of some very wicked, wicked people. Anyway, to read on from my article, T-Shirt Warriors. Here in my home state of Ohio, Republican Governor Mike DeWine appointed as director of the state health department an Obama sycophant and infanticide-supporting, quote-unquote, doctor to tell us all what we are permitted to do and what we are not permitted to do. Now, she's since resigned. She came so much opposition and pushback against her, including demonstrations outside her home, that she resigned. But the damage was already done. The health edicts were already set in place. DeWine and Acton, Amy Acton is her name. Those two attempted to deflect mounting criticism by announcing, this was last May, a reopening of Ohio, but they didn't do it. It was a misdirection, diversion. And our governor now, he has continued on with his Luciferian propagandist idiocy. Two problems that were apparent to anybody paying any attention to what has happened here in Ohio and very likely in your own state is that they've been using false, fake, phony, discredited, however you want to say it, data modeling from the very beginning, and they have used false positives, cycle counting on these PCR tests are trash, folks. Trash. And America should have never been shut down in the first place. So I wrote, what politicians across the country are really facing but cannot admit is that they have lost control of the narrative, and boy, have they. There's going to be some people doing jail time, and some of them should be in prison for the rest of their lives. And I'm thinking Andrew Cuomo for one. People are not drinking their Kool-Aid anymore. Clarity and understanding occurs when you stop allowing yourself to be propagandized by politicians and the special interest groups that pour millions of dollars into their campaigns and personal accounts. And I do mean personal accounts, folks. There's a reason why, on a per capita basis, members of Congress have the largest percentage of multimillionaires everywhere. Have you thought about that? They go into office. Some of them are attorneys. Some of them are small business owners. Some of them are wealthy people, and they bought their way in. That's increasingly normal. But how is it possible on the salary of a congressman or a senator that someone that goes in, even if they have a little bit of accumulated wealth, can become multimillionaires within just a few years? How is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. It's not possible on the back of their salaries, their elected officials' salaries. It's not possible because they're just very good at playing the stock market. It's possible because they receive checks, significant checks, large checks, and they vote on legislation, in favor of the one that gave them the check. I remember not that long ago when John Boehner was the Speaker of the House, that C-SPAN, they don't hide it, folks. C-SPAN showed he was walking around on the House floor passing out checks from lobbyists for yes votes on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a trade agreement that would have sacked America, by the way. Trump got us out of that. Boehner received $5 million, $5 million for doing his part to encourage other congresspersons to vote yes on this. The information that I had at the time listed several, 10 or 12 congresspersons that received over $1 million. $1 million for simply voting. Can you believe that, folks? That is the height of wickedness and evil. It's an arrogance that says it doesn't matter what you know or think. I don't care because you can't do anything about it anyway. That's politics in Washington, D.C. That's evil that has gotten out of control and so arrogant it'll look you in the face and laugh at you. You who think you can do something about it. And so I wrote, American politicians, for the most part, are bought and paid for agents of organizations that hate America and wish to steal the wealth of America. This whole stimulus bill frenzy. We don't have that money. We haven't had really any backing for, it's just fiat. It's just paper. And the only reason that the economy keeps going on this paper is because of the confidence of the American people, or might I say the stupidity of the American people, to believe that this paper money actually has value. That a $20 bill actually represents $20 in real value. And it doesn't. If we ever get back to a gold, silver, precious metal, I don't care, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, it doesn't matter. If we ever get back to a solidly, a fiscal, responsible monetary policy and basis that cannot be corrupted or manipulated, then there's coming a day of reckoning for financial institutions and organizations that have aided and abetted this corruption. All of this stimulus spending is just pure evil. But it is preparing folks for one thing, too. It is preparing folks to not work and to draw a check. This is the strategy. They're using this. The globalists are using this to create a willingness among the people of the world to sit at home, do nothing, and receive a basic universal income. Because here's what's coming. I got a book today in the mail. I'm very interested to start reading it. It's by Keifu Li. Keifu Li. He was the head of Google China at one point, but he wrote a book, AI Superpowers, China, Silicon Valley, and the New World Order. And an excerpt from the book, actually it was an interview that he was giving. I forget who he was giving the interview to, but he flat out said, he said, listen, within 10 years, robots are going to overtake humans in factories, manufacturing facilities. And humans are going to be out of work. Not entirely. He didn't mean entirely, the entire world population, but a significant enough percentage of people would be out of work because AI is going to advance to the point where it'll be much more profitable to have robots in there because they can go 24/7. And they don't have legacy costs, retirement funds, health care, pensions, and all those kinds of things. And so it's very important for these Luciferians, such as Lee and others, Gates and Soros, and to create an environment where people are happy just to stay home and collect a check. Gates has even proposed taxing corporations and companies who use robots and they displace humans, tax the robots, tax these corporations for the robots they use in order to raise revenue to pay a universal basic income to people who aren't working. It is a maze that if you do not try to understand and look at, you're going to get lost, and then you'll start thinking and saying that, that people that are bringing this information to you are crazy. Nobody's that evil. Yes, they are. People are evil. And evil people do not care about other people. They do not care whether you live or die. In fact, these evil people, Bill Gates is one of them, his motto is enshrined on the Georgia Guidestones. These evil people would like to see the world's population that's probably around 8 billion now. They want to see the world's population be reduced to 500 million. 500 million. And you can do the math. That's trying to wipe out, what, 90, 95% of the world's population for no other reason than they think that's better for the planet. Anyway, I wrote in this chapter, T-shirt warriors, there are unfortunately a large number of people who should know better than to believe what politicians say. Most politicians lie to gain office and they lie to remain in office. The only time they tell the truth is years after their public life is over when they have no intention to ever run for elected office again. I offer one glaring example, the Bush clan. Poppy Bush and son lied through their teeth to Americans for years in order to maintain their voter base. Their children and grandchildren towed the line as well. Once that era was over and there was no intention to, for any of the Klan to ever run for public office again, the Bushes en masse had no problem speaking up for issues they previously opposed and against most things they stood for in order to get elected. You know why? Because they had to keep the narrative, they had to keep the facade up in order to do their dirty deeds behind the scenes. The Bushes are the worst kind of politician. At least with others, they tell you exactly what they're doing, and they do it. And so you can agree with them as soon as it comes out of their mouth. But with the Bushes and others, they act like they're going to do the opposite, but they're not. They do what you hate and detest, but they cover it up. My most disheartening experience during this entire situation is the widespread revealing of the chaff that has until now posed as wheat. For those of you unfamiliar with this word picture, I'm referring to the words that John the Baptist spoke concerning Jesus Christ recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Here's what the relevant passage says. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's Matthew 3, verses 4 through 12. This pictures Jesus separating true believers from false believers. There are people who talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. It is easy to sound like a cultural warrior, but reality is revealed when it is time to take action. Where have all the culture warriors gone? Where has the church gone? Where are all the proud and loud patriots extolling constitutional rights and warnings about the encroaching Leviathan of government? Where are all the loud and proud NRA t-shirt-wearing patriots? Where are all the End Abortion Now t-shirt wearers? I'm appalled at the silence of the t-shirt warriors. You know who you are, and now I know who you are too. The t-shirt warrior has been exposed. There's an old saying that says, been there, done that, got the t-shirt to prove it. The beauty of that simple idiom is this. You had to actually do something to earn the t-shirt. Today, all across America, t-shirt warriors have been exposed. Wearing a t-shirt proclaiming your allegiance to any organization, cause, or faith has been shown to be meaningless. What matters most is this. Can you be counted on when the chips are down? Are you willing to stake life and fortune for the common cause of freedom and liberty? If you are not worthy of freedom and liberty, then take the t-shirt off. Many shrug their shoulders in indifference. I thank God that our founding fathers thought the opposite. On the religious side, namely the true Christianity side, many people have been exposed as loudmouths with no spine. It's easy to sit behind your computer or podcast microphone and pontificate about separation from the unwashed masses, and by that, you do not mean the downtrodden. You're attacking the real Christian warriors that are actually out in the streets trying to expose and defeat wickedness all across the land. The Bible tells us that it is our responsibility to occupy until Christ returns. We are to stand firm against evil, and we are to expose the darkness. You cannot do that by sitting on the sidelines watching others fulfill their assignments. Pietism has once again risen out of the shadows to say, hey, we should just sit back and do nothing about any of this because God's going to sort it all out on his timetable. Besides that, don't you know that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics? Don't you know that patriotism doesn't mesh with Christianity? Don't you know that the gospel is diluted when you are a Christian and a patriot? There's one simple Greek word that I give in response to that. That word is baloney. It is our right. It is our responsibility as citizens of these United States to inform and, when necessary, correct those we elect to any government position. Christianity is not in conflict with that principle, and attempting to argue that it is reveals who you are and the small view you have of the power of the gospel lived out to change the course of a nation. Our spiritual heritage as Americans is deep and wide. Modern Christians have been deceived in believing we have no responsibility to maintain and advance the cause of Christ in this republic. The gospel will be advanced with or without you. I prefer that it is advanced in a nation that maintains freedom, liberty, and the blessings that follow from that, rather than the alternative. Hiding in homes or secret places because the government we have allowed to take root will murder us if caught living out our Christian faith. Souls are not brought into a living faith and trust in Jesus by t-shirt slogans and false bravado. The power of the gospel to save is the same power to give you the courage to stand up and speak out against the encroaching darkness in America. Will you take your place in the breach? Will you stand strong with other true believers and push back against the rising tyranny in our land? Well, that's what I wrote in that chapter. I've had people ask me, and I just recently I had someone ask me, well, Jesus wasn't involved in politics. He didn't rail against the Roman government. He didn't tell them that they needed to do this or do that or change this or change that. And I said, you're absolutely right. But there's a reason that he didn't. They said, oh, well, what reason is that? And I said, because Jesus wasn't a Roman. And they looked at me with this quizzical look. And I said, Jesus wasn't a Roman. Let me put that into modern terms or give you a modern illustration. How effective or what right would I have to rant and rave against the government of, say, Canada or Great Britain and say, you have to change this. You have to change this. This isn't right. This isn't appropriate. What would Canada's government officials or the UK's government officials or even their citizens say in response? Well, you're not Canadian. You're not a Brit. You got no standing with us. Why would we listen to you? Likewise, friends, Jesus didn't address the Romans because he wasn't a Roman. It wasn't his purpose or his mission. But he did address the Jewish government, the Jewish civil authorities, and he did it repeatedly. And he did it in the most blunt and even harsh words and phrases that any man could have used. What am I talking about? Little known fact, and one that the pastors don't like to point out who hide behind obey the government, is that the Jewish Sanhedrin, comprised of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, they were the Jewish civil authorities. They had the right to manage Jewish civic life, and they did it. The only thing that they were not permitted to do by the Romans was to carry out capital punishment. And that's why they brought Jesus to Pilate, because Rome reserved the right in Israel to exercise capital punishment. So the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, when they met, often they met over civic matters. They had their own court systems. They could carry out their own fines and their own imprisonments. So to say that Jesus was not involved in politics is erroneous and ignorant, because he was. And the fact that you haven't taken the time to understand that, and I don't mean necessarily ignorant in a derogatory way. Ignorant is just having or not having the necessary information to draw a conclusion. But the information is out there. And so folks need to understand that that is not an appropriate or applicable rejoiner. Well, Jesus wasn't involved in politics. He absolutely was. And not only that, he's going to be involved in politics when he comes back. The government will rest upon his shoulders. Jesus is involved in politics today through his sons and daughters. And your denial of that reality is unacceptable. Well, friends, I appreciate you joining me today for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. There is so much more that I could talk about, but I do want to end with this. I do want to remind you again that Kathy and I will be consolidating all of our ministries down. It'll be on one page. It'll be a revamped website. It's going to offer a lot more features. We're also going to eventually get away from Facebook. So it's really important that you find us, and we'll give plenty of notice when that happens. We've already gotten off of Twitter, no longer on Twitter. I am on Gab. You can follow me there. CC Mike, at CC Mike on Gab. I'm on USA Life Network. You can find me there, Mike Spaulding. I'm on MeWe. You can find me there. I'll post normal content that I post on Facebook and other places. I'm starting to post it there, building up that presence there. I am on Telegram. You can find me there. I've got a couple of groups that I'm running and several other groups that I'm in. People are beginning to wake up and migrate away from these other platforms, and I think it's a great idea. Get away completely from these other platforms that want to censor and want to stop the message that we have. Listen, folks, don't think for a second that Trump lost this election in 2020, because he did not. It was an overwhelming landslide. All the information and data that I've seen, upwards of 80 million Americans voted for Trump. And if Biden had 25 million, he was doing good. That's how bad of a beatdown Trump put on Biden, because of Americans who are sick and tired of seeing these Democrats, these leftists, these progressives, they're Marxists. And saying that they're Marxists means that they're Luciferians. Marxism is Satanism. Marx was a Satanist. I'd encourage you to do your research on that as well. In fact, Richard Wurmbrand wrote a book, Marx and Satan, to make that point. Karl Marx was a Satanist. Marxism is a godless, satanic religion, just like Islam is a godless, satanic religion. Allah is Satan. He is a great deceiver. We do our Muslim friends no service, no kindness, no love, by allowing them to continue in that lie and that deception. Friends, you can support this ministry with your donations and your gifts. Send them to Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Elida, E-L-I-D-A, Elida, Ohio, 45807. Again, P.O. Box 3007, Elida, Ohio, 45807. You can write there requesting books, signed copies, and any quantities that you'd like, and I'll try to fulfill those. You can also support us, and again, this is another thing that we'll be changing up. We're going to be going away from PayPal. We found a good Christian company that allows for online giving, and it also allows, I'm showing my age here, but I guess this is a thing, it also allows for text giving. Giving by text. I guess that's a thing. I know some organizations use it. I've never done it. Never thought the idea was a good one, but apparently enough people are doing it that this online giving Christian company that we found and is going to support our online donations and gifts, they offer that. So if you're one of those people that like to give that way, then that'll be available as well. So, folks, again, thank you for joining me today. If you'd like to write, drop me an email, pastormike@cclohio.org. Again, if you have a Proton email address and would like to correspond through Proton Mail, a more secure, encrypted email system, then send me your Proton email, pastormike@cclohio.org, and I will put you in my contact books and send you a confirmation back that I've received that. So God bless you guys. Appreciate your prayers, your friendship, your support. It means a lot. And look for another episode of Soaring Eagle Radio just like this. It's time to take the gloves off and get real in our conversations. Amen. Amen. Talk to you again soon.